everyone that's here tonight. Welcome. 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 And the listeners that are logging on, I'm here with Pastor Sam all the way to my right, Pastor Kurt right next to me, and Pastor Tim on the other side of my left. And we actually passed out in my house. Wondering what we were going to speak about tonight. But there was a thought that came to us. And, you know, I'm going to let Pastor Sam bring it up, because we were talking about the Spirit of God. And, you know, we all have the Spirit of God with us. And we all have the Spirit of God in us. But it's only a seed, like this grape here. It's only a seed. It's dead. The Spirit of God is dead in us. But we have a piece of God in us. Yep. Everyone. But there's the Spirit of God that is around us. And, you know, we really came to the understanding of how important it is to have the Spirit of God resurrected in us.
It's a necessity.
It's a necessity.
You must have it.
And I'm going to let Sam bring it up, how it came apart, because after we got done talking about it, we both passed out. So it was like the presence of God came in and just was like laid on us, and then we were out. And thank God Kurt called.
Just like, yeah.
now we're like drunk a little bit. But, you know, there's a part about it of the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? And, you know, we're drunk right now a little bit. And we're filled. We're filled with God, with peace and joy and righteousness. And I'm going to pass it over to, where I eat my grapes.
I was talking to Pastor Jim about the Spirit of God, and I always have questions for him, and I think I know the answers a lot of times, but, you know, the enlightenment comes as I talk to him, and he enlightens me. So I was asking him, and I said, you know, I think that everyone's born with the Spirit of God in them, and it talks to them at a young age, because I remember being led by God at a young age, God telling me this and God telling me that, and me basically, you know, kind of ignoring him, you know, when I was younger. And I said, so I had the Spirit, and he explained to me, and he said, no, it wasn't the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God around you, not in you. Because what it says is in the New Testament that one of the apostles went down to Samaria to preach Jesus, to preach Christ unto them. And they believed, both men and women, and they were baptized in belief. But then Peter and John had to go back because the Spirit of God had not yet come upon them. They were only baptized. That's all. They had an awareness. The Spirit of God hadn't come inside them. And then we read in John where it actually said that Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said the kingdom of God will not come upon you unless you're born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God, or you cannot see the kingdom of God unless the Spirit of God. Unless you're born again of the Spirit of God. And, you know, the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness. Peace and joy. I had an awareness of God when I was younger without the peace and joy and righteousness. I was still in utter turmoil. I was still in utter no peace, no joy. But I had an awareness of God, and I believed 100%, but I had no peace. I had no joy. There was no kingdom of God inside of me. It was on the outside, so I didn't have it. And that was the question I had. I didn't understand how you could have God talking to you at a young age. You think it's God, and it is God, but it doesn't come with the kingdom of God inside of you. It doesn't come with that peace and joy, and that's still inside of you. You still have problems. You still have fear, worry, and anxiety. You don't have any control over yourself still, because there's no Spirit. It's still dormant, like he says, a seed.
Yeah, and it's important to crack that seed open. See, it's important for that seed to be birthed, and I believe, you know, there's we're talking about salvation here. We're talking about living a life with an eternal life. We're talking about, you know, people tend to live life and they just say this is the way it is, you know, and never really reach an eternal life. And this ministry is trying to bring us to a place of having an eternal life. And that eternal life is a peace and a joy and a righteousness. And there's a level of peace that people don't quite understand.
Yep.
There's a level of joy that people just don't understand.
That stays. It's not fleeting. It's not temporary. It's not.
Yeah, it stays. Right. It's not like a superficial, artificial happy day.
It's not a day. It's a life.
It's a life. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, truly filled, baptized, filled, you have an eternal peace.
Yep.
That comes over you, that causes your mind to rest, your heart to rest.
Through faith.
And it causes a thirst and a hunger.
Yep.
To seek that.
Yep.
To do all that you could do to obtain that life. And the more you're baptized in it, the more you want that life. And you're not willing to stop at just complacency. You're constantly searching and seeking for more, and you'll do whatever it takes to obtain that life, no matter what it is. And I believe this is the hour that God is saying now about how he's going to be pouring out his Spirit upon all earth and all that other stuff. I truly believe that there is a greater awakening of the importance of having the Spirit of God resurrected. There's a process. There's a process that has to be gone through. Sam brought up to me in the house. He says, "Well, you know, I knew from right and wrong, and I had a conviction, but you know, sometimes I just didn't listen to it and everything." And I said, "Yeah. You know, God's love for us is so great and so awesome that he's always there."
Yeah.
He's always around us, trying to lead us the right way. But it's different when he comes in you.
Yeah.
And fills you.
No longer you live, he lives in you.
Exactly
you die
right.
And he lives.
Exactly right. There is a process where we become baptized and born again.
That's right.
And it's not a baptism that when you're a little baby you get a little water dribbled on you or what have you. There's an awareness, and now we brought up about, well, what is it when you feel sick and tired of being sick and tired? I said, that's just the Spirit of grace. You know, the Spirit of grace comes upon everyone to get you to that place of being birthed or renewed, where you want to change your life. Not everyone has grace in their life. See, because we're saved by grace.
Yeah.
So that,
not everybody's saved.
No, and grace is a spirit. See, we have to understand that there are many spirits that have names. Like, even joy is a spirit, and peace is a spirit.
Joy, mercy, and knowledge.
Yeah.
Grace,
exactly. Mercy. And so, yeah, mercy and love, it's all. And love is the greatest spirit because it's God. God is love. And so, when that feeling of being sick and tired of being sick and tired is really just the Spirit of grace coming upon you, shining that light on you, saying, look.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Follow.
Having an opportunity to begin to seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things is, and I feel strongly about this, is God is not looking for good people.
That's right.
And it's very hard to get this message out and tell a good person that there's a more of a requirement from you.
Correct.
It's not about being a good person. There's more to the equation.
That's why Jesus said there's none good but the Father. No one's good.
Right.
None good.
Well, we understand that because we've already tread it in the truth.
Yeah.
But you tell someone who is a good person. You tell a good person that they may not reach that eternal realm.
You know, it's like you said.
How about that one?
It's like you said Sunday about the soul, how it takes credit for everything you do in pride. Mm-hmm. And takes that credit and creates that pride of, oh, I did this. It's my life. I did it. And that's how the soul comes in and takes credit. And that pride comes in and it's over. So you said Sunday, and it was vital.
Here's the perfect thing. Today's Ash Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And if there are a lot of listeners that understand Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is a concept of an awareness of repentance.
That's right.
But it also
exactly
is an awareness that you came from dirt.
And you'll go back to dirt.
And you'll go back to dirt.
Yep.
But it's also rather with it where they're giving something up as a good deed or good work. That's
the start of Lent.
That's what the men created.
Yep.
But the original one was people created that.
So you give up.
That's what it's evolved into.
But yeah,
they give up. They give up something for until Easter.
Sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice.
It's 40 days.
Yeah, it's till Easter. It's till Easter.
Soda or
it's Ash Wednesday till Easter Sunday. And what happens is they'll give something up. It may be cookies. It could be smoking, drinking.
TV.
Yeah, TV, a certain type of food.
But that's real nice.
And then they don't eat meat on Fridays.
And that's nice.
It's like ripping yourself. It's like beating yourself. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer for God.
Like what you're saying. A good person does a good work.
Yeah.
It's a good deed.
And they don't even have to verbally say it. Right. It could just be inside them.
Yeah.
You know, like with the prop.
Well, this is the problem.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, an eternal life is something that you just don't play with.
That's right.
You just don't play with an eternal life. You just don't play games. You don't play games with your salvation. You don't play games. Sunday we spoke about the fear of the Lord, the reverence fear, how God can work with you. He can make you. He can break you. He hardens hearts. He softens hearts. You know, God is not a being that you just play games with. And when I look at these traditions and these false doctrines, I want to call it, that lead you astray to say, well, let's create a ceremony to indoctrinate you with some ashes and make you feel like a good person and create a false righteousness
through your works.
Through your sacrifice.
Oh, your sacrifice.
Your sacrifice, because you're giving up something. And only for 30 days until
it's something important. It's that cake.
Until you get
it's that donut. That donut's important. Without donut, you would go to hell.
It makes you more holy.
Oh, 40 days. I'm sorry. I still corrected.
It's 40 days. The whole point of Ash Wednesday is the giving up is the reflection of Jesus' time in the desert where he was tempted by Satan.
Through the Jewish translation.
No.
Oh, no? It's all translation?
Catholicism.
No, that's
Oh, no, I understand. Jesus spent 40 days
but
in the desert.
The Ash Wednesday is not scriptural at all.
No, Ash Wednesday is not.
It's
a man's tradition.
It's a man-created tradition, not God.
That's man's right. created
so,
tradition.
It's symbolic of what Jesus did.
Went through for 40 days of
like
sacrifice.
Communion.
Anyhow, the bottom line is, it won't save your soul.
No. Your spirit.
It won't fill you up with the kingdom of God. When we leave this earth, you're not going to be placed in that heavenly place. We're being duped. We're being deceived by these false doctrines and false traditions of false hopes and false righteousness.
Yep.
And it's bad.
Well, that's where the Bible even said there's many deceiving spirits, many deceiving doctrines that are out there right now that are taking place, that are stealing people's
eternal life. You know, and this is a prime example because, you know, there's only one way that you can get close to God and have a relationship with God. And that's what we're speaking tonight, is being filled by the Holy Spirit, you know, where you must decrease so God can increase in your life. If you don't, you'll never experience peace, joy, and righteousness. You'll never have it. And we're not talking about a temporary. We're talking about eternal right now.
Transformation.
Exactly.
Well, if our listeners would understand the condition that we're in today,
and where you leave,
and we leave our earthly body, is the condition of the heavenly place we're placed in.
Correct.
Yep. And, you know, to have that awareness, you know, and it's sad because I know some individuals that think they're happy.
Yep.
And they're really not happy.
I know.
Right.
You can see it.
Yep.
They don't know what happy is.
That's right. They don't know what happiness is.
Well, you know what? Happiness is temporary. The joy is forever.
Their happiness.
If you come into eternal joy.
Their happiness is a high.
It's a high that day, and then it drops.
It comes. It can come from anywhere. It can come from
a new car. A new car.
It comes from anything.
Yeah, let's go with an experience. A new car.
A new car.
A good day at work.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
A fun night. Woo.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, little drugs here and there.
No, I'm saying people get high on drug and they're happy for a temporary period and they drop out of it and they're back in the misery again.
Right. But I want to take it to a different level because most people out there think Christianity is to set you free from all that stuff.
Right.
You know, but forget about all that stuff. Yeah. Let's talk about the everyday walk of life.
Yeah. Right.
You see, relationships.
Of the
you see, relationships.
Yeah.
Jobs or whatever it might be.
Yep.
You know, we fuel our soul really to give us temporary relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'll go out and buy a new car today. I feel like I need a new car, you know?
Vacation.
Because everybody feels nice after they get a new car, don't they? Yeah, it feels good. But it only lasts for a little bit. Or just a car.
Until the first scratch. That ain't new anymore. Now I hate it.
But I think it's serious. I think it's real serious about trying to get whoever's out there listening. And if you're hearing our voice, it's not by accident that you're hearing it. So don't take this word or this voice by a common thing or take it for granted, because God is probably saying to you, I'm wanting you to come to a higher level. And it's a fearful thing to really reject the call of God. And I know even in my own life, I've been tasting something that I've been longing more of.
Yeah.
You know, and it is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. You know, as far as my heart is concerned, and I'm using myself as an example because I feel like I'm really pursuing lately this calling or this draw to his kingdom.
Yeah.
And reevaluating a lot of my own life and trying to set everything in order so that I can obtain a greater level of peace and joy. When you taste the glory of God, and you actually tasted it, and then for some reason you go a little dry. It's like
you're hungry.
You want that glory back into your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to just be dry or be complacent or still.
No,
you want to advance. And when the more you know, the more you're required to advance.
Like Tim said earlier, you must decrease so he can increase.
Must decrease for him to increase. So Tim mentioned that.
Yep.
What God is saying is the kingdom of God.
Yep.
It has to advance in our lives.
Yep.
The kingdom of God has to advance in our lives. If it's not, then could we be considered backsliding? Could we be considered going back into the world? Or are we going back into the kingdom? And How do you feel about it?
What did he say? I'd rather you be cold or hot rather than lukewarm. I don't want you complacent. I want you either cold or hot.
I don't want you lukewarm.
I'd rather have you cold or hot than lukewarm.
And I'm so determined, because it's a horrible thing when you find yourself complacent. When you have tasted the glory.
Yep.
And it's like losing your first love.
Well, God even gives us a commandment. He says, seek the kingdom of God first, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, and he'll add everything else in your life onto you. But you have to seek it first.
And for the listeners out there, a lot of people, and
hold
that.
If
you're searching, and that's what God brings people to, is a search. And there was an incident that happened today in Florida where there was a mass killing at a high school again today.
Yeah.
And I think there were 17 kids killed and a ton of kids that were wounded. And I'm reading on social media, right away, gun laws, you know, advocates for guns, people against guns, and they're pointing the finger at everything. But what we really need to get to, and I believe God is allowing this stuff to happen.
You're exactly right.
So people will turn their wicked ways.
Yeah.
And bow down to God.
Yep.
And that's the only way that this nation and this world will be ever to be back on its feet again, and is if they turn from their ways and they praise God and they start worshiping God and they want to have this relationship with God.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, because it happened on Valentine's Day,
yep.
which is a sweetheart day.
Sure.
And God is calling us into his love.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened on Ash Wednesday.
Same. Yep. And Valentine's.
You know, where you're supposed to be recognized as repentance.
All they want to do, I'm not bashing anybody, but everybody just wants to point the finger. But the thing, if everybody would just come to a place of accepting who God is, I don't care about religion, whatever doctrine you're under. But worship God and have that, and come to that hunger, because everybody's called. I don't care who they are. God's knocking at your door. If this issue bothers you, because I don't care who you are, unless your head is completely buried in the sand, if you open up a newspaper or turn on a news station, it's all doom and gloom. There's nothing, this is totally different than what it was 10 or 15 years ago even. It's so flip-flopped. It's horrible out there, but there can be a change. I believe there's a change. I mean, there's what we're speaking is John the Baptist saying, repent, 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 for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the call right now.
Yeah. And I think it's because God, look, it's word speaking through us.
Mm.
And it's a rhema word, and it's a now word. And we're sitting here in the Holy Spirit, crying out to whoever has ears to hear, there's more. And you just don't have the Spirit of God if you have to infixicate yourself with a new car or a vacation or something. You should be able to have overflowing joy, like drunk in the Spirit. Full of joy, full of gladness,
peace.
Full of peace, full of righteousness, despite whatever else is going on around
you. Yeah, amen.
Right.
And know that that God is for you, not against you. And you have that peace, and you understand his protection. Because he will. He'll protect you. There's a protection there. There's a, you know, while Pastor Jim was speaking, I'm just going back in the times when John was running around. Where was the church at that time?
Just like today.
Just like today. Absolutely.
No
exactly
different.
Like today. No different at all.
No different. They were set up in their hierarchies, and
they were
created the people in guilt and shame, making them go to confession or sacrifice animals.
And they were sitting on their high chairs, and they had to wait in line to go see them. And today they're driving Porsches. They're living in million-dollar homes. And I don't care who they are. It's a disgrace.
It is.
And you know, to look at it, addressing where we're at, we don't know where the world is going to take us. But at the same time, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring you. No. And this might be your last chance, those that are out there listening. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And you, now you can't say, since you heard us, I never heard. You heard.
You know, this world, especially Pastor Kurt was talking about the media and everything, it's the emphasis is so much on the carnal and the natural things that are going on, and the spirit is so diluted. People don't even question spiritual things. There is no spiritual things. And because they don't have the grace and the knowledge that God's but God's pouring it out now. Like you said earlier, you said when you leave this earth, whatever condition your heart's in, whether it's in turmoil or it's in torment, and you got all these issues, when you leave this earth, that's where you're going to be, in a place for the rest of your eternal life.
Yeah, it's an eternal thing.
And if you're hearing this word, grab a hold of it, because it's going to change your life. It's going to change your focus on the mundane, natural occurrences of every day, to really evaluating your spirituality and evaluating what eternal life is really about right now. Because really, it's about now. It's about what's the condition of my heart? What's the condition of where I'm at in a place right now with God? You know, if I'm not in a relationship with God, how do I get it? Well, we're giving you the answers and equipping you tonight with the answers to this.
And one of the things that I like what you brought up is, you know, being honest. You know, like I said, there's a degree of joy and peace that everyone feels.
Yeah.
And you have to be honest. Do you really have a peak amount of joy? Are you really happy?
Right.
Are you really feeling the sensation of joy?
Do you sleep at night?
Yeah, we can even go to sleep. But, you know, there's some people that sleep, you know.
But is the condition of your heart, do you feel at peace? Do you feel there's joy where a circumstance comes up and you don't even are affected by it because of the joy and the peace in your life? If you're not feeling it, then you have issues that you have to agree with.
Yeah. Everyone, you know, we can all relate. There's going to be pressures.
Always.
There's always going to be pressure.
Never not.
It's how you deal with the pressures.
Yeah, you can deal with the pressures internally or externally. Yes. Spirit deals with it internally. Like you said Sunday, you said this, when problems arise in your life, do you start blaming everything external, or do you look within to see where you're falling short, to see where your thinking's messed up? Mm-hmm. That's the question. There's an internal life that you live that has all the peace, joy, and righteousness inside, but the outside life, that where people are living without the Spirit, there is no peace, no joy, no righteousness. It's all turmoil.
And then we come into the fear of the Lord. Who are you going to fear? Man, who can't save your soul, or are you going to fear God, who can save your soul?
Correct.
So our listeners and those that are here have to make choices in their life. Are you going to still be bound, or are you going to break free?
That's right.
Are you going to be true and honest, or are you going to deceive yourself and say, well, this is just the way it is? You know?
Yeah.
No, there's more.
Yeah, don't quit. That's just quit.
That's quit.
You're quitting.
Like you said Sunday, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. You have to be willing to fight. Not just sit back and be, you have to really fight.
Yeah, because complacency, lie.
Yep.
It's all taking the kingdom of God by force.
That's right.
It took it.
Yeah.
It took the peace. It took the joy.
Yep.
Took the righteousness.
Yep.
Took everything.
It took it.
But God's saying, take it back.
That's what he's saying.
And God is saying, take it back.
That's what he's saying.
Yep. And we have to take it back. Especially those who were endured.
That's with the power. Yep.
You know, we could be just talking about ourselves right now, tonight.
We are.
I'd like to have our listeners grab hold of what we're saying, but we have to take it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We have to take it.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Because to be complacent, when you taste the glory, see, that's the thing. I don't think many people out there have ever tasted the glory. Yeah. They might not even know what the heck we're talking about.
They don't even know what the glory means.
I know. I was talking to one of my daughters the other day, and we were out on a release, I think it was, and she began to start telling me that she had a good day today. I had a really good day today. And I said to her, I said, you didn't have a good day. You tasted the presence of God. That's what made you have a good day. What is a good day?
Yes.
I don't think anybody really understands what a good day is. You see what I'm saying?
A good
but
day.
when you have a person who doesn't understand what it is to buy a new car or to go on vacation or anything, has no clue about anything but a good day.
Yes.
The only thing that you can direct them to was the presence and the glory of God. You're tasting the glory. You're tasting the presence.
The good day was not circumstantial. The good day just came from inside. Nothing external caused it.
Exactly right. Nothing external caused it.
It came from within.
It came from within. Correct. And this is where we need to share to the world about the glory of God and how he desires for us to be able to taste that glory every day.
Woo-hoo.
Drink it. Yep. Drink it. And it's a process. You know, first we have to humble ourselves, come to a place of honesty.
There you go.
We have to be true and seek. We have to seek it with all our heart, soul, and mind.
And seek it means pursue it.
Pursue
it. You gotta pursue it.
Pursue it.
The Bible take it by force.
And you have to pursue it. And you have to. You might have to lay things down. You might have to put your foot down. You might have to seem like a real jerk.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
that's why you were saying it's not all about good people. Because people have the perception of works. And always having this fake smile on your face and all the, oh, God is good.
Help everybody. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's right.
I always go by the Job thing when Job was praising.
Job's a good verse.
Job never cursed God with his lips, but where was his heart?
His heart.
So people can always put a facade on with their facial expressions and how they go, oh, everything's good. But where's your heart?
That's right.
And one good one thing that I think, and I think we always talk about it, is really looking within. I think that's such a big key, is never point the finger at anybody else.
No one has ever lived within.
Yeah.
They never have even experienced
within. You have to look
within.
That's
the
difference.
You have to. That's the point of experience.
Yes.
Because part of the human nature.
And the soul. Yeah, the human nature, the soul.
Yeah.
And we have to really be aware of that so that we can decrease that nature.
Correct.
So that we can increase the spirit. Hunger and thirsting after righteousness is a big key. We have to hunger and thirst after it. And I think righteousness is the kingdom of God. You have to hunger and thirst after peace. You have to hunger and thirst after joy. You have to.
You have to.
Yeah. Listen, if you knew the eternal realm and understood it in a deep revelation, it's forever.
Yes.
It's forever. So why would you let something bound you when it's your life?
You still have a
choice.
While you still have a choice.
Why would you let a certain situation or a certain subject or whatever it might be bind you?
Kidnap you and take you down another road.
Exactly right. For what?
And they don't have any.
Because of fear of man?
And they're just taking you with a carrot and they're going this and you're just being led.
Yeah.
Well, that's why in Revelations, God says, to those who overcome, I will grant you a seat right next to me.
Yeah.
And what are we overcoming? Just exactly what we're talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're overcoming the urge not to have peace and joy and righteousness, but to pursue it, you know, at all cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's your eternal life. Like, my eternal life, Pastor Sam's, Pastor Kurtz, Pastor Jim, whoever's here, whoever's listening, it's your eternal life that God has granted. Mm-hmm. And you have to maintain it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
you've been given a gift. You have a gift. You're supposed to take and fulfill it.
Think about this: if you own a home, okay, you have a yard, and if that yard starts growing weeds and everything, and you're not maintaining that house, it overtakes it. Same thing with your spirit.
Yeah,
you know, if you're not maintaining that peace and joy and righteousness and pursuing it. Well, you're going to allow the soul and allow the human nature, whatever thing, to continue to manifest. It's going to overtake it, and it's going to crush that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit's going to be minuscule. You might not even have one.
No. I mean, there's a point of regressing.
The Bible even says that.
Yep.
It talks about that.
And you can regress back into the world or whatever.
He said, I'll blot their name out of the book of life.
Bingo.
To those who backslide, I'll blot their name out of the book of life.
Yep.
Take it right out.
Yep.
It was in, now it's out.
And to backslide is not, oh, I smoked a cigarette,
no.
Or I had a beer,
no.
Or, oh, I got angry. You know, backslide is complacent to the peace and joy and righteousness.
So you're no longer pursuing.
That's right.
Yeah, no longer pursuing.
Not housekeeping. Right.
Yep.
Yep.
And I believe it's so important in this hour right now. You know, and God is calling all of us to take it to those new levels and do all that you can do to pursue that.
Pursue it.
Pursue it with all cost.
And, you know, in Revelations, God talks about one of the churches. He said, you lost and forsook your first love. Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't pursue the peace and joy.
Oh, that's the church of the Laodiceans.
Correct.
Yeah, because they
left it. They left that first love
because mm-hmm.
they stopped pursuing the peace and the joy and the righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why God says pursue him. Well, that he is. He's the love. He's the peace. Mm-hmm. He's the joy. He's the righteousness. You got to keep pursuing it and continue to go after it.
You have to keep dying daily. You have to keep dying and decreasing so he can increase every day.
Right.
Otherwise, you're stuck.
You're stuck.
And if you're stuck, you're not moving forward.
Yep. Right.
And you start slipping back.
And that's where he talks about, you said, the lukewarmness.
Yep.
You're lukewarm, and it's better not to know him then, you know.
And really pursue truth.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm subject to a lot of deaths. And I see a lot of deaths. And lately, I've been seeing a lot of deaths. And I'm going to tell you right now, I see the deception and the false witness of these that are mourning, confessing, I'll see you one day in glory and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, where was his salvation and what relationship he had with God, first of all?
Yep.
And then you're projecting, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't see any glory on you. Projecting that you're going to be there one day, and the false teachings and the false doctrines have to stop.
That's a doctrine of pride versus a doctrine of humility. It's, I have nothing. I'm nothing. I don't deserve it. God, it's by your grace am I getting in there. It's nothing to do. That's the difference. Otherwise, it's pride.
The false teachings, the false doctrines have to stop.
Yeah.
There are so many out there that are being deceived and being led astray when the gospel is simply this. Humble yourself and acknowledge who God is.
He will lift you up.
And he will lift you up. That's right.
That's awesome.
The leaders and the pastors and the ministers and the priests have got to come back to getting on their face. Because they never have and they were never taught.
You're right.
But they have to get on their face and they have to start having a relationship with God instead of having a relationship with a book and traditions.
They need to get on our website.
You know, they may have tasted the glory.
I don't.
But I think they reached that point of complacency.
I believe you're right because they answered a call. In their heart.
Yep.
And you're absolutely right and I apologize for that, but they did. They answered a call in their heart, but somewhere down the line, it's not about your church. It's not about your building. It's not about your basketball court. It's not about your bazaars and your carnivals
or
and all that happy horse crap.
Or even offending anyone.
Yeah.
It's not about offending anyone either.
It's about bringing them into salvation, and the truth hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for you to bring them into a relationship with the Father, not a relationship with you so you can take them to the Father.
You know, there was a minister who I admire who literally changed the doctrine of their traditions.
Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Okay, that man had a strong conviction of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that other What I don't know what group he was in.
Catholicism.
Was it Catholic?
He was Catholic.
He broke away from Catholicism.
He broke away from Catholicism?
Yeah, because there was a lot of rules going in and saying, oh, it's okay to do this, but you got to do that. And there were rules and regulations coming through.
And they were taking the spirit out.
Yeah, they took the spirit out.
And he had such a strong conviction that he says, no, I'm going to live my life this way.
Yep.
And he did, and he broke away. I think a lot of people out there need to reevaluate their lives and see what they're coming under.
That's right.
And what deception they're being led to, because they're being led astray, and start seeking the kingdom of God with all their heart.
Use the kingdom of God as their gauge. Peace, joy, and righteousness.
Yeah.
You have it? That's your gauge.
That's your gauge.
If you're not getting it, get the heck out of there. If you're not getting it, get out and find this place. Find the truth. Get the truth inside of you. That's your gauge. You have no other gauge but that. Kingdom of Heaven is your gauge. If you don't have it.
You know, you said just a little bit ago about offenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a true minister of God, a true person that is a leader that has this revelation knowledge, they're going to speak spiritually to you with truth. And it's going to offend you because your soul is going to justify itself and it's going to argue with the truth. Because it doesn't want to repent, you know, and that's where you have to look at it and say, okay, don't take the offense. Just change the way you're thinking and receive the spirit.
And the spirit's job is to expose the soul.
It's expose it, right?
It says, "I sent a sword." I sent a sword. The word of God is a two-edged sword to divide soul from spirit. That's what he said. I came to divide. That's what the spirit's for. Just divide soul from spirit.
And the truth hurts. Let's face it. You know, when you hear the truth, a lot of times the soul is going to argue with it. It's going to justify
it.
It's going to defend itself. And you have to realize you got to separate yourself from the soul and say, you know what? Grab a hold of the spirit. Because what do you say? The truth will set you free.
And
the truth is spirit.
It's like I always say, the soul's biggest weapon against us is making us believe that he's us.
Correct.
That's his biggest weapon.
It's a big
you
one.
Think that that's you. It ain't you.
No, it's
never
not you.
You never experienced a true you. You gotta find the true you.
What you is that little thing crying out that you want to live.
Correct.
And that soul is saying, no, you're going to live under my subjects.
Right. You're good.
And my guidance.
We're good.
Yeah. And it's going to deny you life.
Yeah.
The soul denies you life.
Correct.
And says, no, you have to live like this. No, you have to live like that. No, you can't do this and you can't do that. You have to do this and you have to do that. Which is subject to a law of I want to say lies, really. But
yep.
The truth is what sets us free. And when we can become honest with ourselves by our gauge, righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the kingdom of God. You got to start making a stance and change.
That's right.
That's where true repentance is. You got to say to yourself, I'm not happy. I'm not, or maybe you are, but there's a level that you can increase to.
Right. And you know there's more. Everybody in this world knows there's more to peace, joy, and righteousness than what they
definitely
have.
Just
more.
Just facades
right.
put up.
Right. It's just
there
that
is,
you just you've given up with contentment and just said, okay, you know what? I give
I'll
up.
I'll deal.
No, I'll deal with it. Exactly right.
And rather than maybe causing offense or, you know, doing something that might be against your orthodox beliefs or, you know, whatever it might be. But you got to really evaluate your life because the bottom line is we're subject to an eternal life.
Yeah.
And if we never really, I mean, there's levels of joy. I mean, I'm sure there are some people out there listening to me and they're saying, or they're listening to us and saying, I'm happy. You know, I got a roof over my head. I watch my television.
I got tons of money. I got nice cars.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? I got three kids. I'm good.
I'm really happy. I got, you know, some children. I am married, you know.
We got
our differences or whatever, but everybody does.
I ain't perfect, but I'm a good person. I'm not perfect, but I'm good. I'm a good person.
But you're always worried about losing the money that you have in the bank. You're worried about what the Joneses are thinking next door to you because you're trying to upkeep your house to compete with them. You know,
or you're offended because, you know, this one said that.
Yeah.
And you're never wrong.
And you're never wrong. You're never wrong.
You know, that was one thing, especially in the beginning of the ministry. When I would come in here and I would be talking to Pastor Jim, he would be talking to me and I would always interrupt him. and I'll never forget this. And it helped me so much because he'd be like, brother, just relax and just listen. And I ended up taking that and working on that and to shut my mouth and be quiet. And then I realized what I was doing was the hurts inside were justifying what I was doing and what I was thinking and all that other garbage. But what happened was when I shut up, when I shut that thing up that was in me,
yep, soul.
And when I went home, those words washed over me and it gave me life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where we all have to start, where you just got to shut up and you got to listen.
Humble yourself. Mm.
And you gotta be broken.
That's a good point.
That's awesome.
That's a very good point because I know to tell someone to shut up is hard, especially when you're not a bad person, and the person that's telling you to shut up is not a bad person either, and you feel bad for telling them to shut up, you know.
But at that time during the relationship, well,
what did Jesus say to Peter?
Yeah, get behind me, Satan. Yeah, it was similar to that, but we knew. I mean, this just didn't happen to me. There was three of us. But but we knew that there was a love there that wanted us, that was, he knew what we were called and he was bringing us to a deeper relationship with God. And that's, you know, that it's been 17 years since 9/11 for me. So 17 years and I'm at that place of having it. Trust me, I'm not there. Because once you think you're there, that's another point. You're never there. And that's why we're saying you always have to want more peace.
You want
more joy, to the goal. And it's a race.
Yep.
But take your time.
It's a great
time. It's not.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like Sam said, not that I obtained, but I press on.
Yeah.
And I feel that everyone has a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. And there's people who've had beginnings and been in it. So the same word stands, whether it's your first time now, or if you've been in the glory. Not that I've obtained, but I press on.
What do they say? I die daily.
A daily
life for you.
And that's a good point, because Pastor Kurt died to himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he basically said,
repentance.
I'm gonna be quiet and listen, and you said the word washed over you, right there, that's humility. Because pride would have rejected it, and pride would have withstood it, and the word would have never washed over. You would have never changed, and that's humility. That started with humility right there, and that repentance came in.
You know what it was? He practiced self-control.
Yeah.
From the beginning,
yep.
He realized, and he practiced self-control, and because of that, he showed fruit or the repentance. And because he showed that fruit, God granted him repentance.
Oh, it took a while for the self-control.
Yeah, but just you stop.
He had to deal with it.
Yeah, but it's all love. It's all pure love.
It was a demon.
Humility allowed you to do it. Well, we got the red light, and we have to end tonight.
Yep.
It was a good topic tonight. I hope and pray that those that are out there hearing this voice would truly take to heart what we're saying. We're never here to condemn. We're always here to build up and edify. And sometimes, you know, that soul wants to reject what we're saying and, you know, create scenarios and all this. But it's all for the saving of your soul. And you have to take in consideration eternity. Eternity is no joke. It's forever and ever. And listen, there could be a point where you're just so deep that you're just closing off everything we're saying. That's sad. And I want you to know, I hope and pray that you don't turn off and like mock what is being said, because it's dangerous for you. You're not hurting me any. You're not hurting these guys any, because we're going to continue to take the word and we're going to move forward with it. But it's dangerous to yourself.
It is.
You're only killing yourself. It's the soul saying, you're not letting there go. I got it. I'm not letting it go. I'm taking it to the eternal realm of hell. That's what the job of the soul is, to grip you and to drag you to the pit. Yeah. That's what it is. We're here to break you free from the soul so you get off the grip and you reach that eternal life. You know, and not be subject to any laws of the land and not fear man, but fear God and be obedient to God and God only. And that's pure worship to him.
And you can have an internal impenetrable life. You can live inside. You don't have to be subject to the outside influences anymore or their wounds.
Look, I believe that there's testings that are going to come up to everyone who has heard this word. And I believe that we're all going to have our Isaacs. And God's going to test us to see if we're willing to take our Isaacs to the mountain and kill it. Or are we going to fear God or are we going to fear man?
You got to be honest about what your Isaac is first.
Yeah.
You got to be honest.
Yeah, your Isaac could be anything.
You got to know what your Isaac is.
You got to know what your Isaac is.
If you don't know, then your Isaac is overtaking you. You don't know it. That's not good.
Or you might just say there is no Isaac.
Yeah, hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But everyone has an Isaac.
Everyone has an Isaac.
And you have to be willing to take that Isaac to the
mountain. We all know each other's Isaacs. We don't know our own Isaacs. I know your Isaac. I know. But I don't know my own. God taught me.
With that being said, God bless. Amen. Love yous. And let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen.